Good evening, my lovelies. Welcome to another Naked Football Show. Not in the studio tonight is a guy who hasn't been on for a year. I looked it up. At least a year. Last time was in the Dove Public House. Mr. Matt Makin, how are you, Matt?
Oh, I'm very well, thank you, Graham. And yourself?
Yeah, well, as we were saying in the green room over our rather strong cocktails, that, you know, we're a bit fed up with both the COVID thing and the football now, aren't we?
Yeah, absolutely. I'm not entirely sure which one's worse.
I know. At least you haven't got to watch COVID. Well, what did you make of the game on Saturday to start with?
Well, I say fortunately or unfortunately, I'm not sure. I didn't get to watch it live. I'd actually managed to get to a face-to-face training course for the first time, or probably in nearly 18 months. So I gave up my code for the day. Yeah, I've seen the highlights, and I think being on first aid training was preparable to watching it from what I've seen from the highlights.
Being treated as a patient was probably preferable to watching. It was pretty disastrous. I don't know if you saw the two dead ball situations with Edwards, one of which was a corner and one was a free kick, both of which sailed sort of into orbit. And it's almost as if you're thinking, is he just taking the piss here?
Yeah, slightly. I kind of felt over the last couple of years, even under Lambert, that we possibly started to get better from dead ball situations, but we seem to have slid right back. And yes, I've seen those two clips sort of on Twitter and all sorts, and it's not a great advert for League One football. Certainly not a great advert for Ipswich Town Football Club.
No, and then the way the players just sort of wheeled away after he'd blasted it over the North Stand roof or whatever, and just as if they didn't care. I mean, normally they'd be shouting expletives at him, wouldn't they?
They would be. There really seems to be kind of almost an attitude problem at the moment, and it has been since Paul Cook came in, but I don't want to blame Paul Cook for it, because I think possibly he's come in and told some home truths, similar in a sense to how Paul Hurst did. And I think possibly there's some toys being thrown out of the pram, but Cook, unlike Hurst, is a much more sort of seasoned veteran to sort of be undone by it. But there definitely seems to be, I can really agree with some of the comments in Paul Cook's post-match conferences about players almost not wanting to be there or not putting in the shift. That's the worrying thing, even more so than the actual performances.
And talking of Hurst, I noticed he's just got Grimsby relegated to the non-league again. Although by listening to the Grimsby fans or looking at them on Twitter, they're not blaming him at all, are they?
There seems to be some much bigger problems at Grimsby from the sound of things, reading into it. But it's six for Paul Hurst. He's starting out really here at non-league Grimsby, and he's back again. Really, almost feel sorry for him in a way. Sort of his career has nosedived. But then again, like I say, almost.
Yeah, well, I mean, when you take over a championship club and then buy in lower division players, which is fair enough as long as you keep hold of some of your championship players, but when you get rid of people like Waghorn and so on, and McGoldrick, I know he'd have gone anyway, but you know that you've got to replace him with like for like, however good the potential is. Sorry, Matt. Yeah,
no, I would say that was the big problem. It wasn't so much bringing in lower league players. It was effectively a drop in quality in what we were replacing. There wasn't any sort of championship level, sort of decent championship level, sort of retained. Really, like you say, lost back on the Goldrick went, and they were asking these players, some like Caden Jackson, really very little even sort of League One experience, really, to kind of step up into a championship side that had finished 12th the previous season.
Yeah. Yeah, which was classed as a failure. To finish 12th in the championship now, eh?
And above Norwich, lest we forget.
Oh, dear. Yeah. Oh, no. Yeah, anyway. should we draw a veil over what is it the rest of this season, pretty much, and also last Saturday's game, and go into tweets and things?
I think so. I think the season's really all over by the shouting, isn't it?
It is, yeah. Well, yeah, I mean, I suppose technically we could still get the playoffs, but it'd have to be a mighty downfall of everyone above us. Right, these are tweets first, as they came in, as usual. Mullet. Hello, Mullet. I love Andre Dezel. What are you looking forward to next season? No further questions, my lord. I added the my lord bit on. But actually I will, because he always precedes every tweet with I love Andre Dezel, and I agree with him. I think me and Mullet know our football. But A, do you love Andre Dizel? And B, what are you looking forward to next season, Matt?
One, yes, I do love Andre Dizel.
Yay, that's three of us, Mullet.
I do. I've been frustrated with him because I think it's because there's potential there.
Yeah.
But I could spend the whole show talking about sort of, has he been played in the right position? Has he been coached properly? But yes, I am. I'm very much in agreement with you and Mullet. And hello to Mullet. Looking forward to being able to see people next season. Hopefully, is the thing. I went to the two games this season that have had fans in. I was lucky, quote unquote, to go to the Burton game because at least that was the one we've won.
That's the one I got a ticket for.
The previous Saturday. Yeah. But just reflecting back now and going back to saying I was actually in a face-to-face training course at the weekend, I just remember even when at that Burton game, despite how much of a dirge it was overall, when we went 1-0 up, when we scored, and that's such an exhilarating feeling just to be in the stand, even though there was obviously a lot fewer people than would normally be at a home game. So that's the sort of thing. And it's not just the game, obviously, it's the rituals, the pre-match rituals, sort of meeting up with friends at the Greyhound beforehand and all like that. That's what I'm almost looking forward to. No, it's what I am looking forward to next season, really. If things improve with COVID, that we can get back in the stands.
That's a really good answer, Matt. That's I think you can have that as answer of the day. That's exactly what I'd have said. Yeah, it's the, and I've said all this before over and over, it's the meeting people and having your pre-match beer and your after-match moan, and you know, isn't it? It's the whole thing. It's the buzz. The actual football is like your excuse to have a day out and enjoy yourself, isn't it?
It is. I sit with, I've obviously got the usual crowd of us at me at the Greyhounds, usually the other Turnstile Blues members, and there is a long-running joke in the Turnstile Blues WhatsApp group about, or certainly there was before COVID, about do we have to go to the match? Can we not just stay in the pub? And that is hard. Yeah. It's a day out. And like you say, the football's an excuse. Would you go out and sit at the pub for a couple of hours and then go back again later in the afternoon if there wasn't a match in between? Probably not. I'd like to, but I don't think I'd get a permission slip for that.
Well, and also someone said that, we all say this, don't we, should we just miss out the football and stay in the pub? But I said to him, if you do that, then come 5 o'clock when everyone's going back to the pub, you'll be going to bed.
Well, yeah, that's exactly it. You need that sort of couple of hours break.
You do. Next one from Shaky Stevens. Should players be stopped for going for drinks in case it upsets idiots?
Yes. I had to look this up when I saw the tweet coming in last night, and I actually had to look this up because I try not to look too much on the ITFC hashtag on Twitter, just for the sake of my own mental and physical well-being. But I actually had to look up what all the fuss was about, and I'm guessing this relates to this picture that James Norwood tweeted out of a few of them out and about in London for a meal last night. And I personally haven't got a problem with it if they're doing it in a COVID secure way. Footballers have suffered same as the rest of us in terms of not being able to, and probably more so in a way, because the way that they play football when they've been able to has been massively curtailed and playing in empty stadiums and whatnot. So I'm not entirely sure what all the fuss was about.
Well, I think the actual picture was taken by a fan who saw them there and then posted it, didn't he? I think, and there was one by Norwood as well, but I think that was taken by a fan. That's what caused the upset. But I totally agree with you. It's stupid. Yes, and I agree with you, Shaky, basically. Cognitive dissonance. He just says, beware of the curse. That's because I put on the profile of the show to, if you want to curse, you can. From the Greyhound. This is about you, because I said that you'll be signing autographs in the Greyhound tonight after the show.
And I've been practicing my joined up writing and everything.
I just borrow a hot cross bun and copy that. Dan from the Greyhound said he'll only be served if he agrees to not having fun. Well, you can guarantee not to have fun at the Greyhound with Dan there.
Well, I know deep down that Dan is very much looking forward to seeing me and Mrs. Macon, so
it's not what he told me. Mikey Pentley-Smith, hello, Mikey. What are you more excited for, the season being over or the squad upheaval? I would go for both, actually. Yeah.
I was going to say, can I pick both? I mean, the season, it's all over by the shouting. Really, I mean, there's mathematically still a chance we could get in, but I don't know if that'll actually do us more harm than good. If you'd asked me that question before the takeover, I would have said I would have been a little bit nervous about both, but I'm cautiously optimistic with the new owners. And Paul Cook certainly wants to sort of rip things up and start again, and alluding to what I said earlier about attitude problems, I think that's needed. So, yeah, get the season done. I'll be really interested to see what happens to the squad over the summer and what investment Game Changer 20 put in for the playing staff.
They're certainly not holding back when, you know, people say, you know, will you be investing a considerable amount of money? And they don't say, they've not been saying, well, you know, we've got to have to watch the pennies, which we've never heard before. They're saying, yes, we will. And that's just quite amazing, isn't it?
It is, and that experience of running football clubs, albeit in the States and in the USL with Phoenix Rising, and I think Brett is involved with a club in Denmark as well, isn't he?
Yeah, Helsingør.
That's the one. And yeah, it comes to that they've got some experience, and I think that's my views on Marcus Evans is on public record individually with Turnstile Blues. But I think one thing you could say about Marcus Evans' tenure was that he never really got up to speed with how to run a football club. He didn't learn from his mistakes, and he wasn't making footballing decisions. And I think the new owners are going to be making footballing decisions. I don't think we can shy away from the fact that it is, obviously, this is that pension fund in the States that's funding it, and they're going to want a return on their investment. But I think they understand the game enough to know that to get that return on the investment, they're going to need to invest in the squad and to move us up the leagues into the Championship at the first stage of asking. I know they said about ambitions to get us into the Premier League, but that feels a million miles away right now. I'd just settle for a competitive season in League One at this point.
Yeah, absolutely. One thing I will say about Marcus Evans, I think he's done very well to get this lot in, and it does seem to be that he's vetted them quite well and wants whatever's best for the club, so whatever his faults, and there are many obviously, and I think you highlighted the main one was that he's not really a football man or when it comes to business anyway, but he's done a good job with getting this lot in, it seems. And secondly, talking about the investment and they just want their money back, it would be interesting to see if Brett gets his tattoo that he said he'll get if we get into the Premiership.
Yeah, that's also on public record on Twitter.
It is. It is. So it can't all be about money.
Well, no, I'm going to say even if he deletes it, that'll have been screenshotted a few times over already, I suspect.
Absolutely. I'm sure someone's even got a... No, we won't go into that. I'm sure someone's going to use Photoshop and in some seedy way. The lovely Mrs. Nuts. So tonight has caused a bit of a kerfuffle amongst fans about players out in Soho when there's no game. Outrageous. I also hold my hands up to enjoying a Tuesday night with no football. I thought you said a Tuesday night without alcohol. That wouldn't work. I went to M&S for a ready meal and a bottle of wine and twice watched episodes of The Sopranos. Yeah. Yeah, well, if it's good enough for Mrs. Nuts, it's good enough for the players, I think. Absolutely.
Well, exactly. Yeah. And like I said earlier on the previous question from Shaky on that, I don't see what all the fuss is about, really. I almost think there are sometimes, and we're no different to any other club, you always have sections of your fans that are going to just kick up stink on everything. And with Twitter, it's very easy for those views to get out there. It's not a new thing. It's just... it can be vocalised a lot better.
Yeah, I agree. Lee, Ginger Eagle. Hi, gents. So, as we're expecting Guion's free kick to be landing any day now, are we more disappointed with the quality of these deliveries or the lack of reaction from both the player himself and his teammates when it happened?
Yeah, I think it, what's more concerning is the reaction or lack of to them.
Yeah.
Like you say, it suggests really that they don't want to be out there, or they're not that bothered now. And it's almost like they're not quite down tools for the season, but they're going to coast it until the end of the season. I suspect that there's probably already been a lot of chats with players and the manager about who he's planning on keeping on and not, that we're not aware of yet as fans. And I suspect some of them might be, like you say, just sort of marking time until the summer when they know they need to go and find a new club.
Yeah, it's definitely, so there's something there other than football itself, I think, isn't there? You know, in their heads. Thank you, Lee. Harry from Ipswich, with regards to his managerial performance this season, would anybody else agree that Paul, and he spells Cook wrong, I'm not sure what is a little more apt. I'm not sure what apt means in this instance. But has there ever been so much being done so wrong? Do you understand that? I'm not sure I do. I'll read it out quickly. With regards to his managerial performance this season, would anybody agree that Paul, and he spelt Cook wrong, is a little more apt? Has there ever been so much being done so wrong? I'm not sure. Am I taking it, Harry, that you don't actually like Paul Cook?
I'm going to go with that guess. I think that's what it is. I'm willing to give Paul Cook a pass for the rest of the season, because I think, like you say, he's inherited a squad that is not performing, a squad that is, well, actually probably not good enough. There's still shockwaves from the Hurst upheavals and even sort of Lambert's tenure there. I think he also, with the games have been coming so thick and fast, he won't have had a real opportunity to kind of impose his will and his style on the team. That being said, and flipping that on its head, he does need to put his finger out in the summer to get the squad where he wants it, and he's going to have to start the season really, really well, because I think that credit is going to run out once he's had the summer to get in the players he wants and to get the sort of the style and system in place that he wants. If we're not sort of competitive straight away, then I think he might be on a bit of a sticky wicket.
Yeah,
I don't think he could be criticised. I think those three games where, okay, technically Lambert was in charge, but really it was Matt Gill, wasn't it? Sort of an anomaly. So it looks like we've kind of dipped under Paul Cook, whereas actually I think we've reverted to type, having had that little sort of anomalous spike of those three games.
Yeah. Yeah, no, I'm inclined to agree with you. And as you say, if he doesn't start off well, people will still start moaning again. However, it's often the case that when you're rebuilding a team almost from scratch, you won't start well. So, you know, I think people have to be a bit patient, won't they?
I think we need to look competitive. Even if we spend another season in League One, and trust me, I don't want to spend another season in League One at this point, if we can look competitive next season, across the season, rather than starting off at a sprint and then getting a stitch and limping the rest of the way, which we've done this season and previous. I think for me that's the baseline. If I can see that he's doing something and making us competitive again, then I'm happy with that.
Yeah, absolutely. Attractive boy down under, Ben. Hello, Ben. How's the weather over there? It's going to get chilly, isn't it? It's going to dip below 30 soon. Hi, GP and Matt. My younger son, Joshua, turns 2 on July the 5th. So my question is, what will come first, an ITFC goal or his birthday? Well, I reckon his 30th birthday probably will come first. What say you, Matt?
I would be inclined to agree with you, Graham. I can't see where a goal's coming from at the moment. And what is it, over? Well, it must be, I don't know if it was over 9 hours before Saturday's game or if that was after. I can't remember. But either way, it's been a long old time. We're either 0-0 or losing by 3 goals and we're just not scoring. I don't see where there's a goal coming from at the moment.
Inclined to agree with you. Thanks for that, Ben. And happy birthday to Josh. Hello, mate.
Yes, happy birthday, Josh.
Good evening. This is from Julian. Hello, Jules. Good evening, GB and Matt. Who do you think will be Cook's first signing in the pre-season? New club captain, striker, goalie. First signing will be the most important, as it will be a catalyst for our intentions. A catalyst, that's the word of the day so far, Jules. Well done. For our intentions and a springboard to attract the rest of the new signings. Love the show. Thanks, mate. What do you think? First new signing, almost important.
First new signing. I don't know. Yeah, you say it is most important. I don't know if there's any one position in their team that's important, but I think it's getting some sort of leadership, a proven leader in there. And I don't want to lambast Chambers. I really don't, because he's been a great, use a cliche phrase, he's a great servant to the club, etc., and so on. But he has also presided over probably one of the poorest periods of Ipswich Town history. You know, and from a playing point of view, he's not really going to be a starter next season, you would have thought. That's if he's still here. So I think you need a real sort of on-pitch leader to sort of build a side around, really. That's what I'd be looking for.
Okay, and we'll follow that with an email. This came in last week from Padraig Mellett, which I'm reading it out now because it's similar. Cook will have an opportunity to put his stamp on the new squad in the summer. some would say he should stamp on them. My questions are, firstly, who should be his top two targets, names and positions? And secondly, should we allow his first full season to work with his new squad? I agree, yeah, he's got to allow a season and can't start moaning till the end. That's my point. Yes, what do you say, Matt?
I think, yeah, we need to give him a full season, really. Like I say, just even if we can, as long as we can see that there's progress being made. Names and positions, that's the point, because I don't really know who we're linked with at the moment. I don't even know if we have really been linked with anybody since Cook took over. And there's so many, like you say, there's going to be such an upheaval in that squad. I don't know who's out there, really, at the moment that would want to come to a League One Ipswich Town.
Well, money talks. From Izzy. Hello, Izzy. Hi, Graham and Matt. I'm still disappointed with Paul Cook. I accept we've probably overrated many of the players, but they did start the season very well, as they did last year, indeed, and played very well for the three games before Cook arrived, which we think is Matt Gill, don't we? So why hasn't he managed to get that level of play out of them? Brett Johnson said in his interview, anyone who thinks the panacea for the club's ills is simply cash is missing the point. It's about culture. It's about finding talent, getting them to come in and buying into this into our approach. To me, that doesn't sound as if the new guys are going to splash the cash quite as freely as some fans seem to be anticipating. That's interesting, but I think they probably will. He also said, we've made a commitment to finding ways to give them, that's the tickets that the owners get to schools and young kids, to make sure we keep expanding our brand one person at a time. I thought we were a football club with fans, not a brand. Interesting comments there, Izzy. Thank you. Thoughts?
Yeah, I still think that there's a lot more going on behind the scenes than I think we're aware of with Paul Cook, and perhaps he's not entirely got the whole change of men on side. I think it's been quite apparent he's been quite shocked about the state that the club and the squad were in when he arrived. So I still think those three games preceding Paul Cook's appointment were possibly exception to the rule in terms of how we start. And yes, we've started well, but we've also faded. We've been consistent over the last two seasons as well. In terms of us being a brand football club, I could go on a big rant about anti-modern football and modern football being rubbish, and it kind of generally is. But I think the state that the game is in, we are going to be a brand as well, and we do need to. Or the owners need to make sure that we keep engaging with the local community.
Yeah.
Especially with and it has been nearly around 30 years now with the Premier League, and I grew up sort of the first generation really of sort of Premier League fans, and I've got lots of friends who support clubs that they're only kind of distantly linked to in geography, or have even never been to, in fact. So I think it's important that we do something. And the terminology isn't great, I appreciate that, but I think they need to be making the club as attractive as possible to the next generation of fans.
Yeah, I think you're right there. Thank you for that, Izzy. Finally, from Slowerball, good evening, Blakers. Good evening, Makers. Love the show. Thank you. On a positive note, good to report the under-23s are doing well under the stewardship of Dyer and Butcher, sitting second in the Pro Development League and reaching the playoffs. Very well done, and best of luck to them for their upcoming two-legged semi-final against the Blades. Does the panel think it ironic that the soon-to-be-replaced shirt sponsors were Rank? Let's hope that the new regime lives up to their promises and returns the dignity and excitement that us town fans surely deserve. We seem to have been in the wilderness longer than Bear Grylls like it. Keep smiling. God bless Luke Varney, but more importantly, the people of India at this current time. Very serious note there to finish on there, Slowball, but totally agree with you, of course. Any comments over there?
Briefly? Boy, nice mention for Luke Varney there.
Yeah. One-man team at Derby. I think Slowball was at Derby. You were at Derby that night. Was it Tuesday night, Slowball? When Luke Varney played on his own up front, literally on his own, and scored the only goal, and we didn't deserve to win, but it was great.
Yeah. I wasn't there for that one. I remember saying that was definition smashing for Amber.
Absolutely.
Yeah, so lots of unpack there, really. I think that I'm really happy with how the under-23s are performing, and they've had that good run in the youth cup as well.
Exactly, I was going to
And Dyer has even been on the first team bench for a couple of games. Recently, he seems to be that Cook rates him as a coach, so good to see.
Yeah,
as well.
Absolutely.
I'm cautiously optimistic for the future with the change in ownership, but they said a lot. Now we need to see them back up what they said.
Totally agree, Matt. On that note, thank you everyone for listening. We've come to the end. You're wishing the season's ended by now, but it hasn't. So thank you everyone for your emails. Thank you for your tweets. Until next week, we're dragging the season on. Take care. Bye-bye.